town, Chicago is.
The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is coming to Chicago for its one and only 2019 conference. You can meet and hear Ross Douthat, Matt Harrison, Wesley Smith, Aaron Wolf, Hans Feeney, and Will Whedon Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. Chicago is.
The buildings are just super, super modern. In my opinion, some people think, gosh, that's wonderful looking, it's trendy, it's modern. To me, nothing ages faster than modernity. Modernity changes every 5 to 10 years.
We rise when we're in the presence of a judge in a court of law. But some people just feel this compulsion to be so informal in the presence of the holy living God, who is there for you and for your sake.
We don't treat the Bible as something that we just nonchalantly look at. We also don't treat the Bible as a bait and switch thing. We don't treat it as something where there are beautiful images that get you to pick it up and then, oh, by the way, here's some Bible next to it.
This is Stan in Carson City, Nevada, and I just love listening to Issues Etc. while I'm vacuuming floodwaters out of the game room in my home.
We ordinarily think of religious persecution as something that happened a long time ago. That seems a very primitive kind of manifestation when they used to persecute people for their religious beliefs, but it's actually a very modern thing, too. It continues apace, in fact, at a pace that makes the preceding generations of human civilization in terms of religious persecution look pale by comparison. It's a reality of today's world. Should terrorism, whether it comes from Islam or it comes from, who knows, white nationalism, should it also be considered religious persecution? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Thursday afternoon, the 28th of March. Since it is opening day, leading off, we'll have Terry Mattingly talking about religious coverage of religious persecution. Batting in the two hole will be Pastor Hans Feeney. We're going to talk about first-time fathers. Batting third, it'll be, I believe it's going to be Joy Pullman. No, it's going to be Carol Tobias. We'll be talking about the House version of the Born Alive After Abortion Survivors Protection Act. And then batting cleanup, Joy Pullman of the Federalist will talk about the Republican Party and paid leave. She says every time the government tries to help a family, it hurts families. You can join us as well. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Terry Mattingly joins us. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. And he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
You have written, the problem is that the words religious persecution, especially when linked to suffering Christians, remain controversial among some public officials and journalists. What do you mean?
Well, let me give you a comparison. There's a lot of different ways to come at this. But in the day and age we live in right now, what used to be a liberal term applied to liberal interpretations of the First Amendment, the term religious liberty, is that now a controversial term?
Without a doubt.
Okay, it's even in quote marks, which scare quote marks. The same thing has happened to religious persecution. Now, what's interesting about this is I don't think anyone doubts that these things, these horrible persecutions are real and that they're occurring. I think the issue is how big a story is it? Now, this past week, we saw a classic example of the shape of this debate. In the wake of the horrifying attacks by a white nationalist from Australia on the mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, we had something really interesting happen online. Well, let me turn around back to you for a second. During the last 2 weeks, did you receive any social media from Christian listservs or maybe even listeners saying something like, gosh, there was a lot of coverage of the mosques, but does anyone care that 120 people died the last 2 weeks in Nigeria? Did you get any messages like that?
Yes. In fact, I not only received some, but I had similar sentiments myself after the mosque attack.
Yeah. Now, here's the problem. There were out there in the world of websites that can either be called alt-right accurately or can simply be called, let's just say, funky. I mean, in terms of their credibility, this whole line of thought got seized on. And it turned into a case of what the urban street term for this now is whataboutism, which is whenever anything bad happens that's really important to people on one side of our cultural divide in America, the other side says, what about this? And there were Christians who were tempted to use the horrors that had been unfolding in Nigeria for a long time. I mean, thousands have died in Nigeria, especially in central Nigeria and in northern Nigeria. And frankly, I have long thought that these stories were undercovered. Of course, I'm also very prone to thinking that there's been a lot of undercovered stories in the Middle East and in Egypt in terms of things that have happened to Orthodox and Eastern Catholic communities. But the whataboutism is something that happened in the distinctly current culture of Twitter and other social media forums. The fact that there were people who kind of made this comparison with a sneer made it hard for other people to note that there was actually an interesting point here. And there were people that said, that really stressed the horrors of the mosque attacks, the fact that this occurred during worship, the fact that women and children were shot. I mean, all of that, they didn't minimize that at all. But then they said, this story deserved tremendous coverage. It deserved the coverage it got. What we're saying is, why doesn't this other story get similar coverage? But those pleas got tainted by the whataboutism factor. You're probably familiar with the phrase that's being used right now, that whenever something happens involving Democrats, like the Green Earth Plan or whatever, the New Green Deal, I'm sorry, the Green New Deal. I'll get it right here in a second. You're familiar with the term Republicans pounce.
Oh, yes.
Okay, or conservatives pounce. In effect, what happened last week was Christians pounce. And all of a sudden, the issue isn't whether Nigeria is a valid topic of news coverage or even whether Nigeria has been undercovered in comparison to what it should get. It suddenly became Christians don't think the mosque killings were as horrible as they actually were. Christians pounce and want their side covered. Do you see kind of how that happened?
So the vice president speaks and addresses the issue of religious persecution. What did Mike Pence have to say, and how was it covered?
Well, it wasn't covered at all. In fact, he's spoken on this topic a number of times. And this is a case of the fact that some people have said for several decades now that when Christians are persecuted, part of the problem is that the Christians have the wrong allies in America, American politics, and in the American press. That Pence speaking up on your behalf is the same thing as Trump speaking up on your behalf. At which point does that help your case? if the goal is to get a horrible case of persecution of Christians onto page one. It doesn't help at all, does it? So he's the wrong ally. He's not the ally you need. Now, the speech he gave was actually kind of interesting in the sense that he came out and very early he spoke very bluntly about the horrors of the mosque attack and how terrible that was and how everybody needs. And I chose to end my column with those remarks, essentially him saying that all believers deserve the chance to worship in peace. And if you don't believe, let's see if I get the exact quote for you. People of faith should never fear for their safety in a place of worship. An attack on the faith of one is an attack on the faith of us all. Now, the irony, I think all the liberal critics of this Christian Pounce situation would all agree with that quote from Pence. That they would say, well, that's what we mean. No matter who you are, you should have the right to worship in peace. Okay, well then why wasn't that quote on the evening news? Or why wasn't that view of the mosque attack covered in the context of the fact that he was noting that during the 20th century, persecution of Christians was worse than it has ever been in all the other centuries of history combined? I've seen the figure that more Orthodox Christians died in the 20th century than in all the previous centuries of Christianity. So it's hard to argue that persecution of Christianity isn't real and that it isn't important. The issue is, do the people who make the decisions on what gets covered, are there other factors that come into play when it comes time to put that story on page one or put that on the evening news or not? Are there other, I don't want to call it an agenda. It has more to do with simply, well, okay, the Christians are persecuted. It's been happening for a long time. It's not news anymore. But a white supremacist attacking mosques, that turns the normal stereotype upside down, and thus this is news, right? This is different. And you know what? I agree. I think the mosque killings deserved the coverage they got. I would have been upset if they didn't. I think Vice President Pence would have been upset if it wasn't covered as much. The issue is whether it then gets linked via this whataboutism, Christians pounce, religious persecution inside scare quotes, whether or not this framing device takes over and affects the coverage in a negative way.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City and author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. When we come back, why isn't something like the Vice President's comments, why aren't they being covered as they should be? And is part of the filter that's at work here one we've talked about with Terry many times, and that is journalists tend to see religion as politics. We'll be right back.
I'm going to talk about two big trends in American life over the last 50 or 60 years, the decline of institutional Christianity and the growing polarization of our politics.
Ross Douthat of the New York Times talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The increasingly strident division between an ideological left and an ideological right. And I'm going to argue that Christianity has weakened precisely because people have become more likely to identify with ideologies than with religious beliefs, and that a recovered Christianity, a more robust public religious faith, is actually an answer to polarization because it gives people an identity that's bigger than partisanship, so they can define themselves as Christians first and liberals or conservatives second.
You can meet and hear Ross Douthat at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of religious persecution with Terry Mattingly, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. Terry, I want you to answer your own question. Why is it that very relevant and in many ways kind of universally accepted ideas like the one that Pence articulated recently in that speech, why aren't they being covered?
Wrong ally. I said it earlier, and I really can't think of another reason.
I mean, are you saying it's because it's Mike Pence?
It's because it's Mike Pence. It's very interesting. This is the sort of thing that we used to really be able to count on the left really caring about, was the persecution of religious believers. I could think of a lot of examples, but let me give you one. This is a fairly involved story, but it will perfectly sum up what we're talking about right here. Back during the Clinton years, there was a strong move to give China special, kind of special protected status as a trading partner.
Most favored nation status.
Most favored nation. There you go. That's the right phrase. Most favored nation status. Now, what was fascinating is because this was the Clintons, mainstream liberalism tended to kind of just go silent, even though a lot of traditional forces within liberalism opposed this, including, if I remember correctly, labor unions and a bunch of other people. And in particular, a segment of Hollywood that was very pro-Tibet and noted the fact that the Chinese government was crushing Tibetan Buddhism and the Dalai Lama, this group of liberals continued to fight against the Clintons on most favored nations status. So there was a rally, and Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard, may it rest in peace, the Weekly Standard described this as one of his all-time favorite images for the strangeness of Washington politics. There was a rally in front of the White House, and they set up a stage, and the people who were there to fight the China bill, to fight the most favored nation status, were all going to get up and speak. And one of the speakers was Richard Gere, who is about as mainstream Hollywood left as you could get, a convert to Buddhism. He's politically correct on everything. And we're, of course, talking about the actor who, for most listeners, would best be known playing the lead in the movie Pretty Woman. But he had a lot of other star roles. He's a big star and very liberal. So he's standing up there, and Fred said there was this interesting moment when Gary Bauer of the Family Research Council walks up. Now, Bauer is dressed completely evangelical, you know, gray wool blend suit, hair, you know, in evangelical fashion. Richard Gere is, he said, wearing a leather jacket, blue jeans, stylish, you know, gray hair and all this. So Bauer walks up behind Gere and reaches up, because Gere is tall and Bauer is short, and reaches up and taps Gere on the shoulder. And Gere turns around and says, full voice, Gary Bauer, my main man. Fred Barnes said it was, to him, it was perfect. It was a perfect Washington moment. But as strange as that story is, that's exactly the kind of left-right coalition that should exist on the persecution of religious believers, period. And it should always have existed. But it doesn't exist because of the structures of American politics. Richard Gere, because he was cheering for the Dalai Lama and for the rights of Tibetan Buddhists, was also willing to stand up and cheer for the right of the underground Catholic Church and the underground charismatics and evangelicals of China. He was willing to be consistent about his convictions because he was so far left that he wouldn't give them up. Do you see my point? He was willing to stay idealistic about this issue. Gary Bauer, meanwhile, is an evangelical. It was very interesting during that period that the primary force in Washington, D.C., that was fighting for the religious liberty rights of Chinese underground Catholics was the Southern Baptist Convention, whereas the U.S. Catholic Bishops' Conference was strangely silent because Rome wasn't completely clear already, because they were doing this dance with the Chinese government that recently led under Pope Francis to this pact where China now gets to have a prominent, some would say, way too powerful role in the selection of who is a bishop in the Catholic Church in China and who is not. But we got to see left and right together on that issue. For some sort of reason, for some strange sort of reason, why don't we see a left-right coalition on religious liberty? Why don't we see those? Why is religious liberty inside scare quotes in the New York Times? Because the wrong Christians care about it. The wrong people are bugging the press to cover this story. If the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church was standing on a podium with the head of the Southern Baptist Convention saying, please cover Nigeria, it's possible that story would get covered because there would be good religious people in favor of it as well as bad religious people. Whenever people say that the press is not in favor of religion or that the press has a negative view of religion, I think they have that all wrong. The press is totally in favor of certain types of religion that view with its basic editorial approach to the world. There's good religion and there's bad religion. And the elite newsrooms of the Northeast and the West Coast get to tell you which is which.
Is part of it something that you have pointed out many, many times, and that is, generally speaking, journalists view life in general through a political lens. And so we're talking about the persecution. You had mentioned the persecution of Orthodox Christians, how many died under Marxism. And they would say, well, what you call religious persecution, I just call political persecution.
And both would be right to some degree or another. I would not deny that in Nigeria, there are other issues involved in addition to religious affiliation. That you have cattlemen versus farmers, that you have kind of the free range side, which happens to be Islam in this case, versus the village people, the people who live in communities and fight for the rights of farmers. I mean, that's something that tore the American frontier up, you know, a century or two ago. Well, that same thing is happening in Nigeria. You'd have to be crazy to deny that those factors exist. But the fact that one side are militia that also represent a radicalized form of Islam, while the other side is primarily Anglican, Catholic, and Pentecostal Christians, you can't deny that side as well. Life is complex. What I'm saying is that you can't understand the story, and you can't understand why they're massacring them, including women and children, etc. It's not like a military operation. It's an attempt to change the cultural and religious makeup of an entire section of Nigeria. And yes, there's economic factors. Yes, there's political factor. But the overwhelming framing device is religion. Now, you're saying the overwhelming framing device is political. And I think you're right. But it has just as much to do with American politics as it has to do with the politics of Nigeria. And that's tragic, and frankly, it shouldn't be so.
How much of this is just super sloppy journalism in the sense that I saw today on Twitter that Ben Shapiro, who is a practicing Jew, had been called in The Atlantic a member of the alt-right. He was not happy about it.
Was it The Atlantic or was it a British publication, The Economist? Anyway, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, and so what happens is a journalist sees, say, this insane person from Australia who espouses some ideas that have an affinity to white nationalism and says, Christian or conservative equals Christian or some other incongruous association that they make, and don't bother to dig in and see what the person actually said or whether or not anyone else of any religious affiliation is saying those kinds of things.
In this case, I actually, in the New Zealand case, I watched for that carefully, and I think they actually dealt pretty well with the content of his views and didn't stick the Christian label on him the way it happened in that European massacre. Where was it? Was it Norway? One of the northern European countries where you had a man whose name I can't recall or pronounce at the moment massacred a whole bunch of people, and the police called him a fundamentalist, and that quickly became the label for him. When you actually got down and read what he was saying, he was worshiping a kind of idealized vision of a Christian Europe in the past, and he was using that as a way of attacking the multiculturalism of today. He was not a part of any religious group, had no connections to a religious group. There was no indication that religious faith meant anything to him other than that was just another club with which to beat liberal multiculturalism. I don't even think that existed in the case in New Zealand. It simply was, I think the Nigeria story is complex. It keeps happening over and over. And a lot of people in a lot of newsrooms would say, that just keeps happening. That isn't news anymore. And what really they're saying is it's not news that matters to us. Then they would say, well, it's news that matters to Christian publications and to a specific Christian audience. And that Christian audience is the same Christian audience that we disagree with completely on issues of gay rights, abortion, and a host of other issues in which the world is divided into good Christians and bad Christians. So it has more to do with the wrong Christians are upset about this. I really think that's the key factor in this discussion.
I wonder, and we'll get to this on the other side of the break, whether or not it goes both ways. I'm thinking about the issue of Israel, which is much in the news, the flagging support for Israel among, say, progressive Democrats in the United States. And yet, many of those against whom Israel is fighting are Christians, Palestinians. We'll talk about that after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
We're discussing media coverage of religious persecution with syndicated columnist Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're more than 2 months away from our one and only 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, and we're already more than half full. Attendance is limited to 500. Early bird registration ends this Sunday. That's only 3 days away, March 31st. Childcare is free, thanks to Lutheran Church Extension Fund's sponsorship. It's an opportunity for you to meet and hear Ross Douthat, Wesley Smith, Matt Harrison, Hans Feeney, Aaron Wolf, and Will Whedon. Making the Case is Friday, June 7th to Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Terry, I'm wondering, and I don't know why it occurred to me this way, but often what we see in terms of the coverage of kind of the Israel situation, Israel-Palestinian situation, has been framed specifically as a political conflict. But I don't think anybody who looks at it can say it's only a political conflict. Is the Palestinian plight, even up to this day, an untold story of religious persecution?
There are certainly elements of that in there. I've had family who lived in that region. And of course, for 4 years, I attended an Orthodox congregation in South Florida that was predominantly Lebanese and Syrian. And there were quite a few Palestinians in our parish, and I heard a lot about their point of view. But even when we deal with Israel, I mean, like the other day, Donald Trump took an action that the Israeli government wanted him to do and declared that America supported the view that the Golan Heights is a part of Israel. Well, when you picked up your paper, why did the American press conclude that he had taken that action? Did you notice?
I did not notice. I didn't dig in there.
Well, it was crucial to conservative Christian prophecies about the second coming and the end of the world that the borders of Israel be closer to the views of the ancient historic Israel. So once again, this turned into this thing where it couldn't be judged as an issue based on the security of a modern state. Evangelicals, he was doing this to appeal to his evangelical base, and he was doing it because of their bizarre views of the second coming, and that would include the conversion, the death or the conversion of all Jews to Christianity, which means that in supporting the Golan Heights being a part of Israel, Trump was actually being anti-Semitic. Did you follow that?
Barely.
But I saw that. I saw that. I wrote a post about it. It's very interesting and very strange. David French did a wonderful essay noting that the reason evangelicals back Israel so consistently is not just apocalyptic theology of premillennial dispensationalism and bad movies. Left Behind movie. I couldn't get the phrase out. Left Behind movie. There's more to this than Left Behind movies. and I don't want to get into discussion of the Left Behind movies. I've always considered the original Left Behind movies kind of the evangelical Rocky Horror Picture Show. Have you ever thought of it that way? you kind of put it on and you can laugh in all the wrong places. But anyway, even when you're for Israel, and also right now Israel is led by a conservative government, and the conservative government likes Donald Trump, which tends to even make judging the actions of Israel, that then gets tied up with the politics of the Trump era and him having the wrong friends and all of that. Now, the irony thing here is I would also argue that a lot of Americans don't even realize that there are Christians who have been living in Bethlehem and in Nazareth and in that part of the world since the early church. I don't think a lot of Americans think about the Palestinians and realize that there is a Christian component to that story and to that mix. So to some degree, if there's any ignorance about the Christian factor there, it's just as much among contemporary evangelicals and Protestants as it would be among reporters. So you raised a really complex issue there. But once in the Trump era, in the Trump Netanyahu era, it's just Trump does everything for the wrong reasons. He does everything to appeal to evangelicals, and that makes it bad. So you're right. There is some similar equation there to the previous thing we were discussing.
We were talking about Mike Pence, but what if President Trump were to make a speech, a significant speech, that would include as an element of it decrying religious persecution of every stripe and calling for religious tolerance and liberty for all religious believers? How do you think that, I mean, you know, wrong ally, but he's the wrongest ally you could possibly have in terms of what the American media thinks. How do you think that would get covered?
I have no idea. I know he has made, it's one of those things that when he spoke about the mosque situation, his initial remarks were viewed as not strong enough. And the not strong enough angle then covered up the remarks that he made later that were strong and appropriate. I would say that if you follow Pence in particular on religious liberty issues and religious persecution issues, which of course are a variant on religious liberty, Pence has been much more consistent in his language in applying it to all sides. I would remind listeners, I can't stress too much that this used to be a standard part of liberalism. I mean, the UN Declaration of the Rights of Man, of Humanity, Universal Declaration of Rights, that document includes not only statements about religious persecution, but even the right of people to convert from one religion to another. Conservative Christians today couldn't ask for a better statement than the one that's there, in large part because it was written in a time when conservatives and liberals would have both agreed on all of those principles, which is another way of saying it was written before Roe versus Wade, before the Supreme Court becomes the center point of all American politics because we have no other way of settling issues, before the rise of the religious right, and a lot of other factors that all figure into this.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks for your time.
Glad to be here.
Pastor Hans Feeney joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking with him about first-time fathers. He has some tongue-in-cheek advice, and he speaks from a wealth of experience. We'll find out about that after this. If you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran liberal arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What does Easter have to do with mission work? Find out in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, as you learn to see Christian missions through the lens of Easter and see Easter anew through the eyes of LCMS missionaries around the world. Celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection together with all the saints throughout time and to the very ends of the earth. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
The Lutheran Women's Missionary League is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During March, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the LWML. Learn more at lutheranfcu.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.